And thank you so much for joining us on WDKOK Sunrise. I'm Mark Lawrence. Rob Centers, our fabulous producer on the other side of the glass. We always appreciate his help and hard work. In the studio with us now, lots of folks on the Geisinger campus know our guest, especially if they're one of the nurses or staff members associated with women's health or labor and delivery. Alyssa Consini is here. She's one of the educators, does work with patients, but spends a lot of her time working with nurses and staff and docs. And,
absolutely, yes.
And who else?
Pretty much the entire Geisinger service area, primary care, women's health. We have a lot of collaboration involving women's health care.
And making sure that what's new is disseminated. It seems that when it comes to women's health, there is a lot new. I can't remember really anything significant lately that related to my health, but women's health, breast screening, mm-hmm. cervical cancer, we got all kinds of new things often.
Absolutely. So I think one of the things that we get a lot of questions about from our patients is frequency or how often they have to come in for cervical cancer screening or what we know commonly as a pap smear. And one of the things that I think, we want to tell our patients and the community is that now with the current evidence and research that has gone on, we know that starting at age 21 is typically when you should receive your first pap smear. And, years ago, we would think we would need this test every single year. But now what we do, depending on certain risk factors and age, typically the test is performed every 3 years or every 5 years, depending on those specific situations specific to the patient. So, typically we recommend that you still come back for yearly exams, but that pap test isn't always necessary to be completed at those exams. So talk to your healthcare provider to understand where you fit in that, in that spectrum, but know that, you're getting the best care. It's the most current evidence-based research out there, and you don't always need to have that pap test every year.
Has women's health research been lagging in decades past?
No, I don't think so. I just think, as we continue to focus more on the specific needs of women, we want to make sure that we're looking at what's out there in research. Geisinger does a lot of research in women's health. I wouldn't say that it was lagging. I just think as we learn more, we do, we do better. We want to keep updated with current practices.
Geisinger is obsessed with best practices.
Yes.
I will tell you that.
Absolutely.
This has been this is a 20-year effort to make sure everybody's doing the same thing if we know it's a best practice. Oh, yeah, they call that bench to bedside. They've talked about this, what they research up the halls and in the other buildings, they bring to bedside ASAP so that folks can benefit. Okay, so I started asking you what's new. Pap testing is changing, maybe not as often as other years. What else is new?
So I would say, I've noticed I've been a nurse for about 14 years, and I would say in the last probably 5 years or so, we've really focused on maternal and postpartum mental health and have really recognized the challenges that new mothers, new parents face after the birth of a child. So one of the things that really has evolved rapidly over the last probably 3 to 5 years has been our screening for postpartum depression and overall awareness and true acceptance of mental health challenges in pregnancy. So we encourage women to be screened for postpartum depression. Within Geisinger, we do this prenatally about 3 times during the prenatal period. And then after delivery, screened at their postpartum visit, which is really important for women to attend to make sure that everything is kind of going well for them and we can intervene if things are becoming challenging. By, you know, offering different support groups, different situations depending on the patient. But once we kind of finish their prenatal and postpartum care, we actually screen at their well child visits. You know, it's amazing how much once a baby's born, women really focus on the care of their newborn and not necessarily the care of themselves. So with this being Women's Health Week and looking at overall well-being, you know, we want new moms to know that they really need to seek the care need as well.
So that would be a question. How do you feel? Are you feeling depressed or maybe sort of some peripheral question that kind of gets to that?
Yeah. So what we use an evidence-based best practice screening tool. It's called the Edinburgh Postpartum Depression Screening Tool, and it actually asks questions very similar to that. How often do you feel overwhelmed? Things like that. And then it calculates a score, and depending on where the patient falls in that screening depends on, you know, how quickly we want to help them.
Well, it's interesting when you go to the doctor today, you get a series of questions that are unrelated to any reason why you're there. You know, are you safe? Are you safe at home? Is there abuse or injury or things like that? The governor recently talked about postpartum depression, mm-hmm. so I think you'll get more attention. He also used the phrase postpartum psychosis.
Absolutely.
So what was he talking about?
So if postpartum depression goes undiagnosed or untreated, it can evolve into postpartum psychosis, which is a really very scary and critical situation. We've had some situations in our local areas where one I can think of in particular where the new mother really just was struggling, and there are things that have happened with women that have had this diagnosis. I can think of one where, she lit herself on fire. Mm-hmm. She harmed herself or her baby. Never intentionally, but the hormones and the brain does not work in the same way in this situation. And so they're not thinking with a clear mind, and they're acting upon these really kind of psychotic thoughts, these very abnormal thoughts that you and I likely would not have. So treating postpartum depression early, recognizing it and getting help when you feel like you're not yourself will help certainly to prevent postpartum psychosis. Thankfully, it's rare, mm-hmm. but when it does affect a new mom, it can be very, very catastrophic.
Well, sure. It's a pretty significant mental break for mm-hmm. anybody to suffer that kind of situation. But for a mom, in many cases, she's got a big job to do.
Absolutely.
All day long, mm-hmm. all night long.
Full time. So, right. More than full time.
Yeah, worse than full time. Three full time jobs,
exactly.
I guess.
Exactly.
You got it if you're working out that way. Okay, yeah. So we're going to keep that in mind. We're going to set that aside and make sure we know about that. For most moms, I think it's probably, everybody's saying, hey, you're supposed to be happy. This is the best time, enjoy it, relax. But all the women I know like to worry all the time anyway. So what do you say to that? Women can get pretty wound up.
So I think some level of worry is natural, but finding what allows you to calm your mind. So thinking about well-being and wellness overall, if it's a walk, if it's a walk in the park, there's some beautiful scenery up here. I was looking at the sunrise thinking, wow, this would be a great place for some meditation. Finding what, kind of allows you to bring yourself back to your kind of normal, natural self, whether it's reading, exercise, listening to music, relaxation, taking time for true self-care and self-care. And I say this to all of the new moms that I've cared for over the years, that doesn't mean necessarily a shower for 10 minutes, alone, like That means like actually taking a good amount of time, 30 minutes, maybe an hour, to do something completely for yourself as regularly. I mean, I would hope, you know, daily for that would, you know, be possible for people to do that every day. Sometimes it's a couple of times a week, but really do something meaningful for yourself.
Well, I learned 36 years ago this month to say yes to people, say, what can we do? Or can we help? Or can we cook you something? Can we bring you something? Can we help? And I'm not a mom, but I was a dad, and it was a big help to say yes to those kinds of things. And one of the things we often talk about when any of the good professionals from Geisinger come here, they say, get enough sleep. Well, maybe that's the heart of some of this.
Absolutely. Sleep deprivation, certainly, as new parents, really affects how you care for yourself. I'm expecting our third, and I think about, you know, what remembering what it was like as, you know, as a new parent. And so rest doesn't always mean that you get to close your eyes and have a good deep sleep, but just recognizing, you know, when you are tired, to lay down and try to take advantage of moments where you don't have to be up and moving and thinking, using some of those well-being techniques like relaxation to try to calm your mind, so at least you're feeling like you can tackle the next task.
One of the women in our building says, when the baby sleeps, I sleep.
Mm-hmm.
If she's up, I'm up. But if she's sleeping, I'm sleeping.
The dishes can wait.
Okay.
The laundry can wait.
Well, that's it. Yeah, probably women think, oh, good, the baby's asleep. I got 1,526 other things to do.
Exactly.
Go to information for more information. We're just about out of time. So
Where
can I get more
help? So Geisinger has a women's health hub and a pregnancy hub. So if you go to the Geisinger.org website, you're able to search women's health and pregnancy, and there's several resources. And of course, we recommend, you know, CDC and all of the good evidence-based resources out there as well. But talk to your doctor or your healthcare provider, midwife, if you have questions.
And when the baby sleeps, you sleep.
And when the baby
sleeps,
you sleep.
Thank you so much for all you're doing. I can tell you're leaving a wake of people who have been helped by you. As soon as I said I was going to talk to Alyssa, they said, oh, we know her. She's been working over here. And I think every Geisinger facility knows about you, too.
In one way or another.
Yeah, I think so. So Alyssa Cancini is here. She is the women's health quality and safety nurse at Geisinger, maybe one of them. But a big advocate for women's health and just making sure that new information is brought up. Women's Health Hub, where is that again?
Geisinger.org. Yep.
All right, fantastic. And start there. We thank Mike McMullen. He gets producer credits also today for making sure that we knew about Alyssa's availability today. So thank you so much. Thank you so much for all you're doing.
Thank you.